If this were a Protestant church, and we posted the sermon topic on the message board outside, tonight's sermon would read, "A Wake-Up Call." The readings we've just heard are about endings and beginnings, and the imagery is nothing short of a War of the Worlds reference, or dare I say, a Star Wars reference, in the fight between good and evil, light and darkness. The term for this kind of literature is called apocalyptic, as in Francis Ford Coppola's movie, Apocalypse Now, about destruction and yet about salvation. Hence, I say, it's a wake-up call for things that will happen, we don't know when, but for which we ought to be prepared. First part of the reading is very strong about destruction, and yet by the second part, it's about salvation. From now until Epiphany, the words salvation and redemption will be used again and again in our literature, in our liturgy, and in our readings. For this reason, we stand in need of salvation, meaning healing, God's healing for us, because after Adam and Eve, there was this break apart, and Christ came to heal that as our Savior. And sometimes theologians talk about the fact that after Adam and Eve, there was a debt that God was owed, and Christ paid the debt by redeeming us. So whether it's a healing metaphor, an economic metaphor, it says we're in need, and the gospel says the Son of Man will heal and save us. Wake up call. What do these readings mean in terms of our lives at the end of the year, the turning of the year with darkness, Thanksgiving, Christmas coming upon us? What are those things that we need to put our house in order about, given the fact that these readings are a wake-up call about our life before God? Let me suggest three. First one is in our families. I say this with some humor this week because every year at Thanksgiving time when my family gathered in New York, my cousin's wife would said every year, "Welcome to tribal rights." We just had to do it. And last I checked, all we have in living a family is on-the-job training. But this week, a grandfather I know found out from Facebook that his grandson is gay. He was shocked. He was almost sickened, he said. And we spoke at length twice this week about his being hurt, being ashamed, having a gay person in the family. He judged that all that he had done and presumed was undone by this son. I counseled him to look at this from the grandson's point of view. What about the guilt he may feel, the rejection he anticipates from his family, and probably some self-hatred he endures as well? The conversations did not end, and they lived happily ever after. I do not know whether the grandson will be invited to Thanksgiving, and I don't know whether he will accept. But I said to his grandfather, the way you deal with this is going to be your finest hour or your biggest mistake in your life. Not many of us have that kind of thing to face this Thanksgiving. But we do have a question of how do we care and value and revere those we presume and presume on in our families. What do you and I need to do to put our families and our houses in order before Christmas? In our church, I'm in Washington, I'm going to quote Tip O'Neill, all politics is local. Well, frankly, all church is local. Despite all the talk about universal church and the bishops, church happens here. It happens in word and sacrament. It happens in mission and service here. I say that because this week the American bishops did meet in Baltimore, and we didn't come out with any kind of stellar ratings at all. The leadership is at least adrift. They're fractured, and quite frankly, it was amateur hour. I can't solve that. The Pope will try. Probably he can't solve it. So what do I say? Church happens here. And I would invite you and me to look at tonight's bulletin and look at all the opportunities that you and I can work together to make Advent work, a season of welcoming a Savior and welcoming the Redeemer, and in the process, serving others. Going beyond the self to community is what the Bible is all about. And that's what being part of church means, even if the hierarchs are acting like lowerarchs. We have to be the church here. And thirdly, getting our question about a wake-up call, I want to raise that image in the gospel about the fig tree. I want to talk about the earth. I want to talk about what Pope Francis calls our common home. What lessons could be learned in terms of how we deal with the earth as part of our common home and raising up fellow creatures, not things? And how do we deal with that in terms of revering the earth? The Pope has called for an integral ecology, humans and all living beings, respecting all on this good earth. This week, the wake-up call from California couldn't get worse in terms of fires. Some will say there's no climate change. The Pope happens to think there is. So does Jerry Brown. Climate change is a reality. And it means every single decision you and I make about the earth has implications about the earth. Some would say, getting back to that word, it's apocalyptic. Some say it's too late. I hope to God, no. But what are we doing to heat up the earth? What are we doing to reduce consumption? Two comments about that. One is about water. How do we use water? This week, Israel-Palestine, we're fighting again. Largely about water rights, because water is the new oil. That's the fight. Who controls oil? Who controls the water? How about charging for water? The most precious possession we have in many countries is potable water, and they don't have it. And we have it so much, sometimes we abuse it. I go for a walk sometimes in downtown Washington. It breaks my heart to see people at the entrances of hotels hosing down the street, using and abusing water. And they can't drink water yet in Flint, Michigan. And then holiday parties, there'll be several of them, and rejoice and be glad. But I'm wondering about disposable products we use for our parties. That means cardboard and plastic and paper. Do we know what that does to the environment, throwing that stuff away? Are we not shocked at it? Now, it may be great colors, I get it. Red, green, whatever you want. At the end of the day, every time we toss out a plastic spoon, we're saying something about the world in which we live, which is our common home. We have every right to till and to glean from this earth. We have no right to rape the earth. Wake up call. end of the year, a couple of thoughts in our families, in our church, and in our common home. What we do matters before the coming of the Son of Man.